Good morning. How are you? Such a blessing to see you. Oh, y'all sound a little quiet. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's a little better. You like that a little more? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm just trying to get where you are. If you will indulge us in standing in. Showing that God is your strength. How many knows that he's your strength? You know you didn't just get up this morning because that clock said ding. Like, he is your strength. He is your everything. Well, he my everything. Let me talk about me because I probably looked a little weird. Like, oh, they got a new girl talking. I love the Lord. And I'm excited. I'm so full. I was so ready to get to church this morning. I was so anxious. Like, what we got? What we got? What we doing? What we doing? It's okay. I'll be happy right by myself. I actually don't even need no help. But enjoy as we indulge. You are my strength. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reach out to me. You are.
You are my strength.
just don't have that beat, but you need to talk to God that one-on-one. I don't know how y'all talk, but I talk to him like I talk in real life. I don't be like, oh, Lord, and I praise you. And I be like, Lord, look, so what had happened today was she messed around and tried me, but I walked away. And even in the moments, I just like to have it slow and just, you are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me. That personal. You are my strength. God, I thank you. Strength like no other. Because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. A little bit of that.
That's why my heart is filled.
Let me tell y'all. Just with this little bit, okay? So I've been praying really, really hard this week, right? I've been running from some stuff. You ever ran from some stuff you know you were supposed to do, and then you run and you run? God has been so loud this week. So loud I feel like I should share too, because maybe it's just not for me. Maybe it's something that you're supposed to do and you're afraid. I got, don't be afraid. I won't fail. Trust in me. And I also got stop hiding. I don't know if I'm the only one that's hiding. Again, I talk about me because, you know, other people don't like when you get on their case. But I could talk about Darlene. Stop hiding. Your gift is needed. Your gift is wanted. I don't even know what it is. But I assure you, he was so loud. I couldn't even practice properly in rehearsal because I said, Rico, please excuse me, but it's something. I don't know what it is, but I can't do it till Sunday morning. I don't know who you are. Maybe it is just me, but he was a little too loud, so I don't think it's just me. He will not fail. Do not be afraid. Stop hiding. That's all I got. My heart is filled with praise. That's why.
So hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve. servant. You take the broken things and lead them to glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it. To receive it, so let all the striving cease. This is my victory. You are my champion. Oh, giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won. Every wall comes.
About Miss Crystal a little while ago, and I didn't understand. But I know that God is faithful. I know that God is good. And I know that this is hard, but God, you are great. My God, how great you are. How great, how great. You are. I think we really gotta believe that, regardless of what happens here. My God, how great you are. How great you are.
God, how great you are.
Today, as we gather as the body of Christ, as the Carpenter Shop International Church family, we do hurt. We do have questions. We don't understand. I'm not even sure that in our human mind, in our human abilities, we can understand. We just cannot. We just cannot. But we know this. When we put our faith in the Lord, we know that we're going to be okay. We know that He is going to care for us. You know, we see a slice of today, but we do not see the whole of our future. So when we walk in God's plan, when we walk in God's ways, and when we choose the journey that we feel like He's given us, we continue to walk and believe and trust and have faith. Many of you out here, most of us, all of us, were hoping for that miracle. But Miss Bonnie got the best miracle she ever could have gotten. There's not going to be any rehab. No. And when she stepped through those gates, I can guarantee you there was two boys there. You know, it talks about a great cloud of witnesses. But really, when you stop and think about it, haven't we witnessed the faithfulness, the determination, and the steadfastness of Bonnie right here in our midst? Everybody here called her Miss Bonnie. Miss Bonnie. We saw her steadfastness to back her man. We saw her preparations in every trip he took. She was behind the scenes. And today, as a body, as 1 Corinthians 12 says, we hurt with them. We hurt with Mike. We hurt with Crystal. We hurt with Charlie. We hurt with Matthew. We hurt with them. We feel the pain of loss. And at the same time, we acknowledge the faithfulness of God, that Jesus has done it for us, that we can have eternal life. So even though we hurt and we cry and we have the emotions and we see the void already this morning, the ladies in the back, there was no Miss Bonnie. She's the first one that says, what can I bring? What you need me to bring? What you need me to do? I haven't even thought about that yet. She's on top of it, way ahead of me. Miss Bonnie, can I get back with you? I haven't even thought that through. The void is there. The hurt is there. But also, as we lift up that family in prayer, there will be strength. There will be healing. There will be wholeness in their bodies, in their minds, in their emotions, and in their lives. We believe that. We know that for a fact. Let's just pray together. Grab the hand of somebody close by. You know, that's what family does. Family is supposed to hug. I know some of y'all came through a family that didn't. Yeah, I didn't either. But family's supposed to hug. They're supposed to hold on to one another. They're supposed to help brunt some of the hurt, brunt some of the, shoulder some of the weight. Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord. You are our champion. Lord, when all else fails, we know that you are in control. When the questions come, when the understanding is not there, when we hurt for others, when we cry, when we see the void, God, you are there. You are there. You hear us. And Lord, sometimes we feel like you haven't answered the way we want it answered. But Lord, we know that you know the whole future. And Lord, we thank you for the plan that you have for this family and for the CSIC body of Christ, our family. Lord, we pray strength over Pastor Mike. We pray healing of emotions. Allow those emotions, Lord, to flow, those tears to flow, and that healing to begin. Father, we thank you, Lord, that even though we don't understand, Lord, you are in control. And we place our trust and our faith in you. Lord, today as this service goes on, Lord, minister to every heart. Place in them a deeper realization of the gift of today, of the gift of loved ones, of the gift of that steady person that upholds us, prays for us, is the first one to say, what can I do? What you need me to bring? But Lord, let us also remember that you are our full strength. And when we, then Lord, you are strong. And we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. And we got a lot of announcements for you because guess what, y'all? It's 2024. And if no one has told you, because people don't use words like we used to use words, Happy New Year. We're supposed to say that all through January, folks. Happy New Year. And it is a new year, and it comes with struggles, yes, but it also comes with great things, great challenges, and great opportunities. We have some of those opportunities coming our way. We have our Impact Revival starting January the 26th and going through the 29th. We have cards at the Welcome Center. Grab a couple of these. Hand them out. Invite your neighbor. Invite your friend. Invite your coworker. And this will be a quick reminder if you lay it on their desk at work or if you stick it in their car or you throw it in their pocketbook and say, hey, my church has got something going on. I'm going to stick the invitation here in your pocketbook and I want you to be my guest. Impact Revival. We're excited about that. It's going to be awesome. All right, and also, we're going to have an intercessory prayer for revival starting Monday night, 1:15, that's tomorrow night, from 6 to 7. So just come by the church, and we'll just have a time of prayer, praying for the upcoming services. Ladies, mark your calendars for February the 10th and 11th. It's our Inspire Weekend with Laura Lee. She is our guest speaker, and you will not want to miss her. Register on Facebook page or with your QR code. So there's Laura Lee right there. We have a great picture of her. And you will be just encouraged and challenged at that meeting. We're going to have a brunch. Starts at 10:30 a.m. Saturday morning. So ladies, tell your husbands if they're planning to wine and dine you, is what they used to say, for Valentine's over the weekend. Then it needs to be at supper time, not at lunchtime, because you're having brunch with the gals. All right. Okay. And it's a perfect time of the year because it's kind of cold. There's not anything that you really want to do outside. And who wants to rake leaves? So you have a reason to leave the housework, leave the yard work, and get down to the church to have some girl time. It'll be a time that you will enjoy, and you'll be challenged by that. Also today, we have our I Get to Serve luncheon. So if you're a volunteer with CSIC or desire to be a volunteer, make sure after the service that you just walk right down to the Family Life Center and you join us for a brief connection for 2024. Some key points that Pastor wants to pass on to you, and a quick lunch. All right? So make sure you just follow right after the service. Now, please, don't text me at 2 o'clock and say, I left the church and I totally forgot. Tie a string around your finger right now. I see some of y'all have your phones out anyway, marking your calendars. Great. Great use of those phones. Also, we have our Kingdom Builders reminders. If you need a pledge card, please raise your hand. Heidi will pass you one. These cards are important because it's our pledge for the year of how we're going to give, how we're going to give to our missions department. So listen to this promo now.
Sensitive part of the world, spreading the gospel, going where many are unwilling or unable to go. And so we're so glad to be able to send them through your generosity. And this is exactly the sort of thing that Kingdom Builders supports. And so when you give, this is what we're able to do with it. So thank you so much. And I'm so glad to be able to write this check to this ministry doing important missions work.
And that's Pastor Anoli. He is our administrative pastor, and he is also ministering today in Orlando at
El
that. Our Spanish CSIC. But he ministers in so many ways. He ministers by song and just praise and worship, but he also ministers the word, and he also takes care of our finances. And this is a great time, Lord, and church, to realize 2024 is going to be different. And so get your pledge card today. It just says, above my tithe and offering, what am I going to choose to pledge to build the kingdom? Because our church has plenty of opportunities coming up. Bless you.
the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. I have never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. Never failed us, God. You won't fail us, Jesus. You won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be.
About how the rain comes and the wind blows, but the house was built on the foundation. You know, the Bible talks about in Matthew 7, verse 27, it's Jesus speaking to the disciples, and he's comparing the people who choose to heed to his word to like wise men who build their homes on a firm foundation. The rain comes and the wind blows, but the house doesn't shake. And here's the thing I think we forget, Pastor Joy, is that we feel rain. Yeah, we feel rain. We feel winds, and sometimes they leave damage, right? Sometimes your window gets broken in. Sometimes a tree branch falls over. And I think our souls and our spirits and our emotions are built the exact same way. When rain comes and wind blows, we feel that. We feel that pain. We feel that brokenness. We feel those emotions. We question God. But the same faithful and true God, even in those moments we don't understand, he is still faithful and true and sovereign and good and holy. So this morning, I'm not asking you to ignore your emotions. That's unreasonable. I'm asking you to remember and to take courage in the fact that as long as, like Miss Bonnie, you are built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, the thought of her transition brings me joy because I know where she's spending eternity. And so listen.
Rain came when blue and my house was built on.
Worship our God, sing rain.
The wind's gonna blow.
Our house is
built.
Our house is built on the true and living God. We're safe. We're safe. We're still safe. We're still safe. She's still safe in the hands of a loving Father.
Wipes our tears. With hands lifted all over this room, can we just lift our hands to our God? And I know sometimes we do this as a means of just thanking God for who He is, and that's important. But this morning, I want you to surrender whatever that pain is to the hands of your loving Father. I pray that you feel His Spirit embrace you right in this moment.
You're gonna make it. It's already written that you're gonna make it. His Word tells us that you're gonna make it. His ways are not your ways. Thoughts are much higher than yours. So cry right now, it's okay. It's okay to ask Him why. He knows and He understands. But you're gonna make it.
And do you know why? It's because
God is able to do just what He said He would do. He's going to fulfill every promise to you. So please don't give up on your God. I know in moments of pain it's easy to turn away, but don't give up on Jesus. Please don't turn away. He's right there for you. Don't give up on God. I promise He won't give up on you. You are more than able. Are more than able. Yes, you are, God. You are more than able. We've seen you do it before, God.
praise the Lord, somebody. Come on. Come on, lift up your voice to the Lord. He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Father, we bless you today. We bless your people. We pray, Father, that as we gather to worship today, God, that you would help us to be ever mindful that our ways are not like your ways and our thoughts are not like yours. And so our lack of understanding, God, is, for no better way to say it than it's understandable. We are not like you, and we know you do all things well. And so we trust you. We trust you, God. Some trust in horses and chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. That's a strong tower, and the righteous run to you, and they are safe. And we bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, smile at somebody before you're seated today. So glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on, smile real big. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to speak to you today a message I've been simply entitled Vision and Provision. Yes, Pastor Noli's away today at El Taller de Carpintero of in Olander. That's a Hispanic church that we began in 2012 and is still going on. A lot of people don't know there's a Hispanic carpenter shop church, but it's over in Orlando. They've done very, very well. I think they own about 30 acres of land over in that region, and they've done really, really well. And Pastor Juan, they lost their worship leader and were going to be missing a Sunday in worship, so Pastor Noli is leading them in worship today. Pastor Billy Collins and Stacy, who did so well last week, are preaching in Virginia today. Pray for them as they are out and about doing the work of the kingdom. Thank you guys who are online today for joining us. We have a tremendous online following, and we appreciate you joining us. And we say hello to the 182 nations of the earth that follow us online. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, I'm thankful for my journey to the Pacific Northwest for the last week. Pastor Joy and I enjoyed some precious time with our son Josh and our daughter-in-law Cassandra and, of course, our five grandkids in Seattle, Washington. Aren't they just precious? Come on. They live. See that mountain in the rear there? They live just, I mean, you go down the street and just look across the way, and they live on the Pacific Northwest where you can see the beautiful Mount Rainier. And quite under a different weather pattern. I don't think I'd want to live there. But hey, they're happy, and we're glad they're happy. We had an amazing time, especially getting to know more of those little ones. Cleo is 2, and Quinn is 6 months. We had a great time also at 7 o'clock in the morning because there's a 3-hour time difference. We were able to sign on at 7 o'clock and see Carpenter Shop Church in Ahoskie, where here it was 10 a.m. So we had to get up 3 hours early to get to church. Come on, y'all. 3 hours early. And we would join in worship with you guys. And the message was clear from the lips of Pastor Billy, and that God has called us all to be what? Planted, positioned, and planted. Positioned and planted. Finding your place in the kingdom, positioned in the redemptive plan of God for your life, planted in the right place at the right time to do what? To bear fruit for the glory of God. Psalms 1:3 says it clearly. That person whose delight is in the Lord, listen, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit. Are you yielding fruit in your life? In season, whose leaf doesn't wither. Don't let anything happen to you that causes your leaves to wither, but whatever they do prospers. I took a little video of our six-month-old Quinn when we were sitting in a restaurant there just this past week. This is what she was doing. She's positioned. She's planted, okay? She's teething, and she said in her own way, I don't like Walmart teething rings, okay? So, I don't like Walmart teething rings, but I'll take a chicken bone any day. Come on, y'all. Amen? Take a chicken bone any day. Quinn is positioned in the lap of her father. She's planted in the right place, receiving the right thing that she needs for right now. That chicken leg bone is certainly better than any teething ring she could find. And guess what? She'll come up in a home where Jesus is taught, and she'll come into right relationship with him. We're already speaking over her life, y'all. Come on. We're already proclaiming and declaring that God has a plan and a purpose for her. And guess what? She will bear fruit in season, and her leaves shall not wither. Come on, are you speaking over your family today? Are you speaking over your children? Are you speaking over your grandchildren? And whatever Quinn does, she will prosper. Amen? God dropped a great word on you last Sunday. A great word for the new year, a great word for 2024. I don't know about you, but I'm believing God for, here we go, more in 24. Amen? More in 2024. You and I are at a critical point today. We are off and running to a brand new year. We are 14 days into it. Statistically, you have just passed what is called Quitter's Day, the second Friday in January. Come on, y'all. You don't know this? Come on. Don't you have a phone, a cell phone? Come on, take your phone out, Google Quitter's Day. It's the second Friday in January because it's the day that most people have already failed at the resolutions that they made and started on January 1. It's Quitter's Day. They just give up. They go back to eating just like they were eating around the Christmas holiday. But you know what? They also don't even know where they left their Bible. Where did I put my Bible? They read so well for the first few days, and now they've tossed the Word of God aside, and all they get is what they get from Pastor Wallace. Man, if all you get from the Word of God is from me, God help you. One little session a week, God help you. Quitters don't even know where they left their Bible. Quitters have already started to junk up that garage that they declared and swore out that they were going to clean up that garage, and they've already started to junk it up. They've junked up the bedroom. They've got clothes laying on the exercise machine. Come on, y'all. Come on, that's the only thing they're good for, right? To hang your clothes on, to throw your britches on at the end of the day. Quitters, Quitter's Day. But listen, God has not called us to be quitters. He hasn't. He wants us to finish well, and He wants us to finish strong. And if you are planted and positioned well, guess what you will do? You will finish strong if you're planted and positioned well. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said this. He said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to what? To completion unto the day of Jesus Christ. That thing that you know God has started in you, that vision that he's planted in your mind, that dream will become a reality if you do not cash in on it. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger said, if I can see it, I can believe it, I will what? Achieve it. That's what Schwarzenegger said, okay? He's not even looking at it from a biblical perspective. But can you imagine when you have faith? Come on, y'all, say faith. Can you imagine when you have faith that is attached to the realities of what God has planted in your spirit? I remember one day, many, many years ago, when Nancy Shamley said this to me. She said, one day, I'm going to own that country club. Okay? Just a statement. She might not even remember saying it, but she said to me, one day, I'm going to own that country club. And guess what? You go out there every Easter to sunrise service, and you know where you're going? You're going to a country club that is owned by the family that said, one day, we're going to own that country club. Come on, y'all, give the Lord praise. If you can see it, you say, well, yeah. You know, I'm not in position like that. I can't do those kinds of things. You can do what you feel in your heart you can do if God plants the vision inside of you. Some of you don't see yourself prospering. Guess what? You're never going to prosper. Because all you allow to come out of your mouth is negativity. Oh, Lord, I don't mess with somebody's stuff. Negativity. You don't need to have negativity coming out of your mouth, and you certainly don't need to be hanging around people who are negative, who will throw water on your parade. Today we're talking about vision. Paul says you can be confident of this. He who begun it will complete it, okay? Just make sure he's the one who begun it, okay? Don't go starting out doing something crazy. Paul says no quitting here. Walk in confidence. Confidence that God has begun the work in you at salvation.
and that he wants to carry it on into completion. And all along the way, he doesn't want his people struggling. He wants his people to prosper and be in good health, even as their soul prospers. So if you want to prosper, get your soul in good shape. And guess what? Things will go a lot better. At Matthew 6:33, seek ye what? First the kingdom of God. Some people complain and gripe all the time about things not going their way. I never get a break. You know what? How's your soul? How's your soul? Do an inventory. How's your soul? Paul is the same one who said that you and I have to do what? We have to press. Press on. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Paul says, not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I do what? I press. I underscored it for you. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I'm preaching to someone today, maybe even if it's not in this room, to someone who's watching online. I'm preaching to some people that you are pregnant with possibility, y'all. You are pregnant with possibility and opportunity, and God wants to give you the birth pains, and he wants you to give birth to the reality of what he has planted in your spirit. Can't you see yourself doing better in 24? Can't you see yourself having more in 24? Listen, God is a God of blessing, and he wants to pour out his blessing upon his children. Brothers and sisters, verse 13, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forget what's behind. Listen, if you fell down, get up, wipe your knees off, and start marching forward to that which God has planted in your spirit. You were not called to fail here. He didn't teach you to swim to let you drown. God's not turned his back on you. He's got his hand on your life, and he will empower you and equip you to accomplish the things that you desire to accomplish in your heart according to his plans. Amen. He said, verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Underscore that word press. It's a metaphor. That word press is a metaphor in the Greek language. It means to seek after eagerly. Earnestly endeavor to acquire. Okay? Many years, man, I lived with a cloud over me. You'll never have a house. You've heard the story. I was told by the devil, you'll never have a house. You can't afford one. I was told that so many times. I can't tell you how many times in the last 5 years that I've delved into real estate, how many people I've met that were just like me. Well, I don't know if we can afford it or not. I just told a client just a couple of days ago over the phone. I said, I'll tell you what you do. Do what I did. Go to the bank. Give them all your information. Let them tell you what you can do. Maybe you don't know what you can do. I remember on the phone that day, I said to Taylor Harrell, Southern Bank. I said, Taylor, look, I don't even know what I can do, man. I don't even know what my score is. And he said, well, give me your social. And he called me back in 2 hours. And he said, Wallace, you can do this. And I was like, oh man, now I'm in it. Now I'm really in it. Now I'm in the water. I got to swim, right? They told me how many thousands of dollars they would give me, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, here we go. I'd never done that, but guess what? Once I started on the journey, I found that he was faithful to finish what he called me to accomplish in providing the home for my family. It's a metaphor here in the Greek language. You seek after it eagerly. You earnestly endeavor to acquire. Okay, I'm not talking about some blab it, grab it, name it, claim it, confess it, possess it kind of foolish theology that just says I got a Cadillac and you know, look, I'm not talking about just going after things because you can. I'm talking about the things that God wants you to have. God wants you to have a nice car? Yeah, I think he should have a Ford F-150. Amen? Amen? I think you should have nice things. Amen? And I don't think God is upset that you want to have nice things. I think that God, we have to understand, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he don't mind you having the milk from one of them now and then, okay? God owns everything, and he wants his children to prosper. But you must remember, your soul needs to be prospering before anything else prospers. Don't go out doing foolish things, and you don't even tithe your income, okay? Don't go out doing something stupid You signed up for some payment plan, but you don't even pay the Lord. Okay? Every year we have people to contact the church. Hey, can you look over my stuff again? They say, I gave more than that. Oh, really? Okay. Well, why don't you go through your stuff? Okay. Why don't you go through it? And if you find that you got something we don't have, we can correct it. Okay. We use some high dollar software here. You know, we're plugging it in and it gives us the, I gave more than that. Okay. Maybe you did, to Sam's Club, to the movie theater, to, you know, you don't know what you gave, okay? Be careful. Paul says, listen, verse 14, I press toward this goal for the prize of the high calling of God. This pressing doesn't have any quit in it. It doesn't have any quit in it. The position says, I will see to completion all that God has promised me. Such a liberating thing today that I came to a reality that God did want me to have a home. Now, every day of my life, I go to my door there and I stand there and I just say, wake me up. Is this a dream? Is this a dream? I have a home, okay? I have a home. I'm not renting this. It's mine, okay? I was calculating the other day. I made my first mortgage payment at 49 years old. Do the math. 59, 69, 79, right? Supposed to have it paid for when 79? No. 3 more years, I'll have my house paid for. Why? Because God has blessed, okay? You put him first, and what does he do? He blesses. You got to put him first. You got to seek him first, put him first, and that means even in your pocketbook, okay? Some of you are having a hard time making a pledge for kingdom. I don't know. Maybe we can give an extra $100. Well, bless your heart. How about stretching yourself? How about saying, God, what do you want me to give? Come on. What would you desire that I do? Because I promise you, every dollar, I've had people to call me and ask me, hey, I just received this. I just got a check. Pastor, do you think I should tithe on that? I say, look, I know this is not your normal income, but I do tell you one thing that I've learned. Money given to God is never wrong, okay? Okay. Money given to God, I have never regretted any dollar I've ever given to the Lord, okay? Money given to God is never wrong. So I can't tell you chapter and verse why you should give, you know, what you're thinking about here, but I can tell you this, money given to God is never wrong. And this position that Paul's talking about doesn't have quit built in. It's a bulldog type of tenacity. It's a type of determination that was displayed when the woman who had the issue of blood, you talked a little bit about her last week, didn't you? She had that issue of blood, and she said, I will touch the hem of his garment. I will give to the work of the kingdom. That's what you've got to say. I know it's tight, but I will give to God. I know it's going to be tough this month, but I will pay my tithe and I will give an offering. I will support a missionary. You can't go wrong that way. You might have to sacrifice what you buy at Walmart this week. Or you might have to say, you know, I'm not going to spend as much at Sam's Club as I usually do this month, but I will give to God. This woman pressed through the crowd. She pressed through, here we go again, eagerly, earnestly endeavoring to acquire something. Come on, y'all. She pressed. Jesus said, who touched my clothes? Because a divine synergy flowed that day. She finally saw a 12-year female issue. Can you imagine being on your period for 12 years straight? Come on, ladies. I don't have a period, so I don't know what that's like. But can you imagine 12 years of a flow that is really frustrating? 12 years. She hemorrhaged. It was a female issue, y'all. She hemorrhaged for 12 years. And she was desperate, Corey. She said, you know what? I'm not going to give up. What's she going to do? Same word. I'm going to press in. I'm going to eagerly. I'm going to endeavor to touch the hem of his garment, because if I do, I know I will be made whole. She moved because her faith displayed something. What did it display? It displayed vision. She could see herself in a different light than what she was experiencing for that moment. What is vision? What is vision? She had the reality of seeing herself no longer bleeding. She had a vision of herself no longer needing those unpleasant experiences. She's not named in the Bible. Did you notice that? The woman with the issue of blood. I mean, nice if you had a name to her, but you know what she wanted to be known as? The woman who had no issue. Come on, y'all. The woman who had no issue. She wanted to be known as the woman who had no issue. She's the woman with the issue of blood. She had this vision of seeing herself complete and whole. What is vision? Proverbs 29:18 says in the King James, without it, you will perish. Without no vision, without a vision, the people perish. The word vision is a Hebrew term here. It has its origin in the word shazal, which means to see, to perceive, to look, to behold. I love this part. To prophesy. I see myself. God, I thank you that you're going to bring a wife into my life. If you're a young man, I thank you, God, that you've already designed a woman for me. If you're a young lady, God, I thank you that you already have a man who loves you that is going to fall in love with me. I thank you that he's going to have a good paying job, Lord, and that he's going to give me children. And together, we will move forward and be content and happy and prosperous in your kingdom. God, I thank you for my husband. Can you see that lady right now? Come on, y'all. She's having what? Vision. She's having vision. Can I ask you something? What is it you want? What is it you want for your life? You have, somewhere I was reading the other day, you have not because you, oh, come on. You have not because you ask not. Listen, you guys, you know me. I'm not some name it, claim it kind of preacher. But as I read the Bible, I discover that God wants his children blessed. Blessed when you go out. Blessed when you come out. Blessed in the field. God wants his children blessed. He does. He wants to bless you. And he wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. He wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. I got a phone call a couple of days ago. Pastor, I need some help. I said, what? I got a car I want to give away that somebody wanted to give to us. What do? I said, receive it. Okay? Receive it. I've told you the story. I had a man to walk in my office one day. Pastor, I like what you do. I just thank God for who you are and what you do. I just want you to pray about us giving you this property by the Black Rock, by the Chowan River. I said, I don't have to pray about it. Okay? He said, what? I said, I don't have to pray about it. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'll take it. He said, well, that was fast. I said, I know God. He wants to bless us. We've been praying for something like this. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He wants to bless you, and you must press. Some of you are not getting because you're not pressing. You're not pressing in to receive all the promises that God has for you. We're talking about vision. Vision, remember, is a faith word. Okay, it means to see it in the realm that is beyond the natural. But Pastor, you don't understand. No, you're looking at it through glasses that are not supernatural. You're looking at it through natural lenses. Would you put on some supernatural glasses and prophetically proclaim that God wants to do in your life exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask, think, or imagine? God wants to do this. He wants you to have a vision that he can do it. Some of y'all are awful quiet today. Vision, remember, is a faith word. Hebrews 11:1. Say, Pastor, I'm glad you're going to back up what you say. Here it is right here. Hebrews 11:1. What does it say? Now, faith is the substance, the confidence of what we are what? Hoping for. It is that dogged assurance in our heart about what we what? Cannot see it. I don't see this happening in the natural, but I can see it in the supernatural. I don't see it in the natural, but I can see it in the supernatural. God's shaking some of you up this morning. I can feel it. God's causing faith to be deposited in your spirit. Some of you haven't put a card in the bucket yet. Man, that's all we can do to pay our bills. Pastor Wallace is asking us to do more. Yeah, more. I want you to do more. I'll share the numbers with you in a moment. But I want you to do more. I want you to do more so you can have more, okay? Because give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will I cause men to pour into what? Your lap, okay? I remember years ago, Pastor Joy and I lived in a 14 by 70 mobile home with a leak in the kitchen because we had to keep a trash can under it to make sure we caught all the water. 14 by 70 mobile home. I remember singing at a little place. It was a steakhouse in Elizabeth City. We sang for a Christmas party or something. We were singing in those days. I remember singing and people, you know, I had my little sound system set up, my little gig. And I had my little tapes I put in there and sing by accompaniment tracks. And why are you laughing, Lucas? Yeah, that's faith, man. It's faith, okay? I remember setting up and I remember singing at the Western Steer. I remember it, Erring House Boulevard, Elizabeth City. I remember singing, finishing up, and this guy comes to me and says, "Oh, Pastor, good gracious, man, that was such a blessing." Okay? I said, "Well, thank you." And he reaches into his pocket and he says, "Here, I want to be a blessing to you." And I did, what did I do, Corey? "Oh, no, 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 no. I didn't come here for money." Okay? "No, no, no, no." And he said, "What?" I said, "Really, honestly, brother, I was glad to be here. I didn't come here, you know, to receive money." He said, "So what you're telling me is you want the forfeit, the blessing that God spoke to my heart about you." I said, oh, I'm a young believer here. "Oh, you mean so you would miss out?" Man, tears came to his eyes. He said, "Brother," he said, "I would miss out because I believe that as I bless you, God is going to," here we go, come on, "God is going to bless me." Okay? I said, "Okay." I remember Pastor Joy and I had wanted a princess phone. How many of y'all know what a princess phone is? Come on, y'all. Listen to that. Some of y'all are my age or higher, you know. The princess phone was a trim line, you know, like a, it almost looked like a swollen up sub roll, you know. Come on, y'all. It was a princess phone. It's when you plugged your phone into the wall, okay? We wanted a princess phone, but princess phones were expensive. And I remember calling Carolina Telephone in those days. "How much is the phone?" "His phone's $50. You can put it on your next bill." I said, "No, no, 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 no. I can't do that. I said, "Man, Lord, I sure would like to have a princess phone." And when I finished singing at the Western Steer, Erring House Street in Elizabeth City, the brother had given me a $50 bill. Next morning, I'm calling Carolina Telephone. "Yes, how can I help you?" I said, "I'd like to order a princess phone." Okay. Do you know that God wants to bless you, guys? Come on, He really does. He wants to bless you. That's right, give Him glory. He wants to bless you. He doesn't mind you having a princess phone. He doesn't mind you having an iPhone. In fact, if Jesus was here today, I think He'd have an iPhone. I do. He'd also drive a Ford. I just think He would. I don't know. I just try to align my life with what I think His would be like, okay? Listen, God wants to bless His people, but you, somebody say me. Say, "I must have vision." I must have vision. It's a faith word. Remember, chazal, to see, to perceive, to behold, to prophesy, to proclaim that I will. Okay? I'm going to have this. Okay? Some of y'all's spirit's changing now. I can feel the shift in the room. I can. God's going to help you. No, you can't see it in the natural, but you can see it in the supernatural because He's that kind of God. Ephesians 3:20, we already quoted it. He's the God that does what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or imagine. That's what He does. That's what He does when we transition from natural to supernatural. Look at God's behavior. He enlarges, He increases, He adds, He multiplies. Okay? That's what He does. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, feeds the thousands. Okay? That's what God does. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, all the promises, somebody say all of them, all the promises of God in him are what? Yes, and in him are amen to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God are yes and amen. God wants to bless you. These promises of God are not just for us individually, but to us as his body. We're a church. Today, we understand the reality. Pastor Joyce said it well from 1 Corinthians 12. When one of us hurt, all of us hurt. It was our beloved Bonnie who passed away. And people are moved today to emotion. The family is watching us today. They text me this morning right before church. We want to be there. We cannot be there because we're making arrangements with Qatar, with Dad. But please know we're sitting here watching our church family online. They experienced what you're experiencing today. Okay? Pastor Mike's in Qatar. Guess what I know he's doing? He's catching up with the service today. Just like I do, no matter where I am in the earth, I'm going to tune into Carpenter Shop and see what's going on. Okay? So they're hearing today. They're going to have a challenge for their own heart. Lord, let me see vision again. Let me move. Let me not stop. You know, it was you that planted this into my spirit. Why would I stop now? I will move forward, for your promises to me are yes. Your promises to me are amen. These promises are not just to you as an individual, but they're to us as a body. Jesus himself said, he said, look, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's building his church. He's building his kingdom. Come on, kingdom builders. He's building it through you. Last year, CSIC, 107 decisions for Jesus Christ around these altars in this building. Last year, 73 people went down in a tank right behind me in water baptism. 12 people last year received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. 35 new members joined the church. $46,553 given to mission efforts both here in our region and abroad. 6 families pulled out of Middle Eastern slavery compounds. 3 water wells dug where there was no water. 3 families given in the last few weeks transportation who had no transportation. A total of $627,039 came into these buckets this past year. Come on, y'all. That's a lot of money. If you're going to do ministry today, you know what it takes? A lot of money. A lot of money. You don't do what we do without the revenue to support it. I got a vision for 24. And can I tell you, if you're today we're going to honor volunteers. And listen, don't be a volunteer. Well, I'm gonna slip down. I got something to do to that. No, you're a volunteer. We need you. If you volunteer at this church, I need to see you after the service today. You're a volunteer. We want to salute you today. We want to award some of you for some of your accomplishments, some of your perspectives. Meet me back there. Let us have some soup and some sandwiches together. I get to serve. I get to help. I get to make Carpenter Shop all that it is because I'm a volunteer. I got a vision, but can I tell you something? I'm going to press you in 24. If you're working for me and you're on the payroll and you're a salaried position, you're a staff person, I'm going to squeeze you like a lemon this year. I'm going to push you. I promise you. Because you know what God's doing to me? He's pushing me. He's squeezing me. I said, Lord, you squeeze me like a lemon. I'm going to squeeze you. If you're a volunteer, I'm going to squeeze you. I'm going to press you. We're going to train more, equip more, and send more out to fulfill their divine destiny. Love, win, build, send, y'all. Come on. We're going to fulfill his mission to build the church, and we are going to press to accomplish more in 2024. in 2024. I'm believing God 125 decisions for Jesus Christ in these altars. I'm believing God for 100 to be baptized in water this year, for 20 to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm believing not for 35, for 50 new members of the church to join this church, for $75,000, not 46, to be given expressly, distinctly, for a missions project. And I'm believing that our budget this year will exceed the 600 and move to $750,000. Can he do it? Yes. Will he do it? Yes. He'll do it. Why? Because we will have vision. We will see in the future. I can't wait to stand on this platform next year, this time, and say, look at what God did. What if I stand here next year and said, we believe God for $750,000, and friends, God has exceeded it. We went over $1 million in 2024. God will do it. What if we have 200 people saved and 175 baptized? We pulled 6 families out of slavery this year. What if we pulled 12 out this year? What if we pulled 12 out? Your heart is moved. I know it is, because in the last few weeks, I've received those messages. Pastor, is there still another family? I had a pastor to call me just 2 weeks ago. Hey, pastor, somebody told me y'all were pulling families out of slavery in Pakistan. I said, we are. He said, can I do that? I said, yes. He took it before his congregation, and they took up $2,000. And just this past week, we pulled another family out of slavery in Pakistan. All right? You say, why Pakistan? Because God has opened a window in the 1040. He's opened a window, and he's moving supernaturally in it. You move when God moves. How long will this window be open? I have no idea. But as long as it's open, we're going to go through it. Tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, somebody say 5 a.m., I will sit at my home and preach the gospel on the television program that will be airing at 4 p.m. in Pakistani time. I will get up in the morning early. Why? Because it matters. Because I believe the time is now. Because I believe it's worth getting up and speaking to a computer screen for just a few minutes to tell people about Jesus. I believe that. Because I have a what? Vision. Do you have one? I do. I can see this sanctuary right now, and we're rolling it out here. Things are working behind the scene. In just a matter of a few weeks, we're going to be new roof, okay? New roof, new ceiling, new carpet, new seating. God is going to do something powerful in this place. You say, well, you know, I like these seats. I do too. But they've been here since 1970. Time for new ones, right? I believe we're doing what God wants us to do. And I can already sense and feel, God, you're going to do something. You're going to shift something in the atmosphere in this house. I can't, listen, I believe prophetic words that have come to me already. There's a man that's coming here on the 26th through the 29th. His name is Pat Slatshine. Pat and I were in school together. Pat quit school because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was preaching. He was preaching on campus, man. Hundreds of people would come and gather. He'd preach in chapel, and this is a student, man. He's a freshman in college. He's a student. He's not. He shouldn't be doing that. God was anointing what Pat was doing. He tried to stay in school, but he just couldn't stay in school because people got word, hey, you should have Pat come to your church. And he was having revivals as a young college student. He was getting requests to come. Would you come? Would you come? And he finally quit school. We teased him. He said, man, you dropped out. But all along the way, he started taking those courses, correspondence. And he finally graduated with his degree from Southeastern University. He'll be here that Sunday of the revival. He's a radical guy. He's a powerhouse for the kingdom. He's seeing God do incredible things in his ministry. I can't wait till he gets here. God's already shown me in the realm of the supernatural, Wallace, get ready for a shift. Pat prophesied. He said, Wallace, I hear the Lord saying acceleration. He said, what's been going slow for you is going to go so fast you're not being able to keep up with it. I hear the Lord saying, acceleration, my friend. He said, open the doors, let the King of Glory come in. And I felt a shiver go across my body. I said, Lord, what are you saying? He said, get ready, man. Get ready. What you've been believing for, what you've been praying for is going to happen. Why? Because you have vision. Some of you are sitting here right now. You're sitting here alone. Your spouse is not with you. Your spouse is coming. Can I tell you in the name of Jesus, your spouse is coming. Some of you are sitting here, man, if I could just get my family connected to the church. Your family's coming. You lead your family. Lead your family to the kingdom of God, because as your soul prospers, so shall you prosper. Lead your family. Lead your family well. Terry, can I just tell you something, man? Stand up to your feet. Those headaches that you're experiencing. Step out in the aisle here, would you? Just step out in the middle of the aisle. I need some people to stand with him. Get some oil and anoint this man. Those headaches that you're experiencing, God's going to supernaturally lift them off of you, okay? This man's been through brain surgery. He's been through horrific things in his life. But can I tell you, God's divinely set you up. This man could tell you that I chased him on the internet for a long time. I sent him private messages. Hey, why don't you come to church? He wouldn't even answer me back. He wouldn't even answer me back. But you know what brought him in here? One of his family members got married. And he likes to take pictures. And he came with his camera that had a lens on it that you could almost hit Murfreesboro with. Long lens. He came in and sat back there in the back and took pictures. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, wow. I said, what? He said, that was incredible. I don't know what to say. He hasn't missed a single service since then. Okay? Not only that, he invites more people than some of you veterans that have been here 20 years. He invites people to come to church and they sit with him. He's doing what you should have been doing all along. Terry, I'm here to tell you that he's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I lay my hands on your head this day, God, and I just thank you that you're going to take headaches away in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I curse those headaches. Command them to go. And that here's a man who will never know he had a surgery. Here's a man, God, who will have a healthy lifestyle. You are lifting off him those things that are pressing in on his life to discourage him. Devil, you lose. We win. Because Terry is going to embrace a vision for his life that he's never had before. In Jesus' name. Lift up your hands to your sides. Come on, lift your hands. You guys pray for him and just anoint him and pray for him. I was out at Beachwood the other day eating lunch. Across the table, Terry says, hey, Pastor, no shame at all. I said, hey, Terry, how you doing? He says, I'm working on Paul here, trying to get Paul to come to church. I said, I've been inviting Paul to church for years. He's never been. But you keep on at it. Maybe he'll come at your invitation. Paul's a logger. He eats at Beachwood all the time. But he won't come to church. But guess what? I believe Paul's coming to church in 24. But there's a man right there that sat at the table at Beachwood. Hey! Out loud in front of everybody. Been inviting Paul to church. I thought, go ahead, man, put him on the cross, okay? That's the kind of tenacity that the church has got to get in her spirit. We've got to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all of them that believe, to the Jew first and then the Greek. God's going to move, Hersey. God's going to move, church. Come on. Get a vision for your own life. Stand to your feet if you will. Get a vision for your own life. Pastor, I want a vision for my life. I've heard a little bit about yours. I want a vision for my life. And next week we're going to talk about what? Provision. Because whenever God gives a vision, he's got the money to back it up. What do you see? What do you prophesy over your own life? God's going to do it. Some of you just don't get it now because you're giving more of your money to Walmart than anywhere else. You got to fall in love with God's kingdom plan. Okay? your little $10 a week and you're making $1,000, that's, you're robbing God. You're holding a gun to him saying, "Nah, you let me have this money." You're robbing God. And if you're going to rob him, he's not going to bless you. He's going to withhold his blessing from you. But he said, if you'll bring to me, to the storehouse, if you'll bring the tithe, then he said, I will throw open, let me raise the window for you. No, I will throw open. I can see God just taking his hands going, bless him, Lord. I will throw open the windows of heaven. And you'll receive a blessing that there'll be such a blessing you won't even have room to contain it. Amen? Who in the building right now, you're not ashamed of it? Pastor, they're cutting my lights off tomorrow. Who's in here that you're not ashamed? You really don't want to, but you're going to say, tomorrow they're cutting my power off. Anybody? I'm getting something in my spirit here. They're going to cut my power off tomorrow. Don't tell me after the service. Tell me right now. Because after the service, I'm going to say you missed it. Pastor, they're cutting my power off tomorrow. Anybody? It's cold out there. I've got children. They're turning the power off tomorrow. I've got that notice. I've got to do something. Come on, I'm just trying to help you. Anybody? Who's getting their water cut off? Anybody getting something cut off that you need? Come on, I want to bless you. I think this is a good time for us to give God praise then. Our people's needs are met. Come on, y'all. Let's praise God. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody short on groceries? Man, I did the best I could, but we're going to run out before the month runs out. Anybody need food? Come on, just come to the altar. Just come to the altar. I'm going to help you. I learned a long time ago there's something that has to go, and that's pride. Pride has to go. If you're going to set yourself up to be blessed, pride has to go. Pride has to go. Amen. God is good. One Sunday morning, probably been 5 or 6 years ago, the Spirit of God spoke to me that way. And I said, let's just take up an offering for the people who need money today. And we took up an offering and we poured it out here on the altar, just cash money laying all over the altar. I said, okay, if you're here in the body today and you got some needs in your household, why don't you come help yourself and get what you need? And people came and got money off the altar. We are the what? The kingdom of God, okay? The kingdom of God. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm trying to get you to understand the principle. If you trust God, if you do his plan, he is obligated. It's the only place in Scripture where God ever said these two words. Test me. Test me. Test me. Go ahead, test me. See if I won't do it. Don't withhold your tithe. You're cursing yourself. I said, don't withhold your tithe. You're cursing yourself. Release it and watch God release his blessing on your life. I've got a vision for me for 2024. I've got a vision for this house for 2024. And I stand here fully believing that I probably put the numbers down way too low. I believe God is going to do far more than what Wallace Phillips have ever thought he would do in 2024. Can you believe it? Vision. Come on, y'all. Clap your hands, all you people. Let's sing unto God. If you need prayer this morning, please make your way to the front. Step out right now. We'll pray for you. Whatever's going on in your life.
Thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all.
Tell you something, Terry. That's what I want you to do. I want you to every day you brush your teeth, okay? Brush your teeth every day. Every day you get up, I want you to say, Lord, I just thank you, God, that you're healing my body. Just thank him every day. Because see, the enemy's gonna come to you. He's gonna say, yeah, you still got a headache. You tell the devil, you need to get behind me, Satan. God has what? God has healed me. And the Lord is going to lift, I'm telling you, the Lord is going to lift headaches off of you. And God can go in and do surgery behind the man who operated on you. Okay? So we're going to see those headaches go in Jesus' name. Listen, I want you to hear this. I've already preached, but somebody needs this. Remember, vision is a faith word. Okay? Come on, say it. It's a faith word. Where there is no vision, people will do what? Perish. Vision. Vision. Chazal in the Hebrew. To see. To perceive. To look. to behold, and to prophesy. You start speaking to that situation that you're going through. If you're going to use words, don't use them to complain. Use them to rejoice. Lord, I thank you that you're healing my body. God, I thank you that you're touching my back. I don't care what it is. God, I thank you that you're bringing resources. I thank you for my raise in pay, Lord. God, I thank you that you desire to bless me. I've blessed you. I've done what you asked me. Lord, I'm thanking you for the manifestation of your blessing on my life in Jesus' name. Watch him do it. Watch him do it. Watch him do it. Go and sing it. He's worthy of it all. Lay our minds, our hearts, our spirits on Pastor Mike and his family. Lord, we speak blessing and peace beyond human understanding over their hearts and their minds. Lord, I thank you that you're completing things on the other end so that he can safely return home with the body of his wife, Lord. And I pray that you would bring that about in the easiest transaction, the easiest transaction, the quickest way. And Lord, I speak peace and blessing over Charlotte and her family in Raleigh, and over Crystal and Scott. Lord, I speak blessing over them today in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong. We trust you, God. We love you. We speak the blessing of God over your people, Lord. I speak the peace of God. I speak a vision over their life today for 2024, not a selfish vision, but a kingdom vision. One, God, that aligns itself with your principles, your promises, not foolish things, God, but I speak the blessing of God over your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Well, please join us in the back. You say, well, I'm not a volunteer, but I'd like to be one. Join us in the back, okay? I'm just here. I've only been here a couple of weeks. I'm not even new. I'm new to the church. Join us in the back. We'll make you a volunteer, okay? And we'll speak to you back there. We'll have prayer and a meal right quickly, and going to have a good time together. God bless you all.